With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can find options that fit your budget. Because giving you options is the right thing to do.
Oh yeah, like when I hold the door for someone. Sure, it may be weird if I don't time it right, and they're a little too far away, and now they're running. And we're both asking ourselves, is it worth it to run instead of just, you know, letting them open their own door?
But still, it's the right thing to do. So get options based on your needs with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I read that for every glass of alcohol that you drink, you need an extra glass of water.
Ma, can you not see that I don't want to talk right now? Are you blind? How idiotic can you be? Can you not tell that I don't want any water? Enough with the nagging and the water. Just shut up. Just shut up.
I don't know what to say.
Finally.
Finally, you said? You little shit. You condescending, self-absorbed little shit.
You're listening to Cobras and Fire, a Pantheon podcast. And with all apologies, hosted by Elsie Fox and Baco. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by the totally rad Elsie Fox. How are you this morning, Elsie?
Doing great. Thanks for that adjective. I had a craft beer last night called Fanny Pack, so that fits.
Well, they have the craft beer there at the whole Rockies Stadium, huh? Wow, that's a shock.
Yeah, but it wasn't at the Rockies Stadium because the craft beer section, I forgot to take a picture. It says Colorado craft beer, and your selection is Coors Light, Coors Light. Because it was the last home game of the season. They have the worst record, I believe, in all of Major League Baseball.
Oh, you're one of those fans. Let's go now. Oh, it's late in the season. Oh, it's cheap. We can get the kids.
Yeah, it's only 15 bucks. Why not? It's a Saturday night. Yeah. Who gives a shit? No, the reason I went there actually is that little Lady Cannon, my daughter, actually, for her first Major League Baseball game, she got to sing the national anthem with 500 of her kids from like the Denver school district out there. And I got to say, that whole the high pitch part, she nailed it. I can totally hear her out of the 500.
That's actually really cool for her. This must be like a league-wide thing. They did that here on last night, too. Yeah, a friend of Amy's sister-in-law, whatever, someone I kind of know has kids that were there too. That's I don't want to try to actually nail down who they are.
That's cool. Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good experience.
Well, good for her though, man. That'd be exciting.
So after that, we went to the 300 level where we belong.
Yeah. Now, are they talking about rebuilding that stadium yet?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. It's only been there since 93, and it looks to still be in pretty damn good shape.
Yeah, but this is kind of a sports thing then. You get, right. I think the previous stadium for the Vikings was about 18. Now, that one was kind of a dump.
And it wasn't fancy. And that one, the Rockies Field was definitely, it's a very cool stadium. I'm actually not suggesting that they replace it, but the way the world is now, it's like, well, you hit the 20-year-old mark and they're
knock it down.
It's in its 30s. You know, we were just talking about this is totally off on a tangent here, but the downtown stadium looks cool and it's got a nice little feel. Mm-hmm. But literally, it is just a fucking train wreck getting in and out. It's just between parking, and then you got all this like headache. They put light rail in here, and it drives right by all the major stadiums.
That's the way it should be.
I thought so, and then I went to a preseason game and took light rail. And I started 5 miles from the stadium, and then the first train comes by, just jam packed. Next one. At a certain point, it's like, well, I guess I either got to miss the first quarter or just shove ourselves in here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that ended up being just a mess. But they do a lot of bars that'll actually shuttle you there and back for $15. I think that's the way to go if I go to a game again.
Okay.
But you know, the older I get, the less I want to.
Well, I understand. The whole damn thing is a process, Baco. You gotta pack up. You gotta pay. And for us, you paid $25 of parking. They have what I call it the actual runway. I thought there might have been a actual airport there at some point because you have to walk Just cut that part out.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. I think the last time I went to a Twins game, it was when Jade was still a kid, and we packed up everybody and spent $83 on nachos and Coke.
That's pretty much where it was, you know. It was $15 tickets with the choir kid discount, but then you get there and they jam you with the hot dog price, Baco.
Well, anyway, good for her. I'm happy to hear that. Some feedback on the last episode. The last episode got a lot of good feedback, so I appreciate everybody that shared and commented. There was one thing that came up that I forgot to mention when we were talking about it. Rock and Roll Archaeology Podcast did an episode that talked about kind of what we were getting into between politics and music and things like that.
Look at the control. Wow.
Almost got one in there right away. And I would recommend anybody that is interested in that topic, go check that out. Now, it's very liberal. It's got a liberal slant to it, but it actually talks about why conservatives suck at art and why they have to steal it. And one of the examples I liked was Born in the USA. They hear Born in the USA. They don't hear the story of a person being treated like shit by the country he defended.
He's a veteran. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like they just turn a blind eye. It's like they just sing that fucking chorus, you know. But anyway, so I recommend that.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that Ted Nugent hasn't reached out about us talking about his review. What do you think? What do you think the chances are that actually was Ted Nugent that wrote that under a surname? Michael Wilson is Ted Nugent. Ding.
Anyway, Rock and Roll Archaeology, The Art of the Steel. Go ahead and check that episode out if that topic interests you at all. On either side, I think it's well done.
Nice.
All right. Hey, I do have a bone to pick with you, though. I had a package that showed up random in my mailbox, and apparently you're giving strange men my home address to send me their music to check out. I spent 20 years in the local music scene putting up with shitty bands. Mm-hmm. I don't need this anymore, man. What is this all about? There's got to be something here. You're not a very random guy. You know what I mean? I think that there is a reason I got this.
So you're saying I'm very deliberate in what I'm doing?
Yeah,
all the time.
I suspect everything. Yes.
Okay. It's probably wise, but I like giving out your address, your phone number. Your email, all your things. You know how much I enjoy doing that. Just in general, it's like my second hobby. I just find people. Here's a guy you might want to reach out to and send shit to.
From the guy that won't even let people know when his birthday is.
Oh yeah, no. Please don't even get in that subject. That's they'll take
just
everything.
Pointing
you
out
own,
a little
Baco.
Bit of a double standard there. Some hypocrisy is all.
No, but. Well, I'll just tell you, a little background is that there is a band called, with a great name of I Love Rich. And
for a guy who likes to point out horrible band names, That's if that's a band name, that's a horrible band name.
Stop. Stop. Anyway, so back another lifetime ago. I'll just say it this way. There's after Creatures Fest, you know, when we're doing our reporting on it and you know, doing our
reporting.
Our angle on the whole event, I started, you know, doing the old Google to look at people's reviews that went. And one, though, that I think showed up either on my feed or maybe I actually found it by just searching was this really comprehensive review that was done. It was written really – it was written really well. It was funny. And it said it was signed – the author's name was Rich Love. And I'm like, I've only known one guy named Rich Love my entire life. Is this the guy? And a long time ago, when I had this site called RUFKM, which stands for Are You Fucking Kidding Me? We used to do this thing called 13 Stupid Questions. We interviewed random people from, you know, bigger bands. It was kind of like a Metal Sludge ripoff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I was just
like
supposed to say 20 questions. So.
Exactly. We just reduced it by 7 because less work. And there were 3 or 4 guys that would submit all these questions together that I know, and we would send them off to artists. And there was one that I always felt kind of bad about. Because over time, these questions started to get less kind and more like vicious. Mm-hmm. But this guy is true to now as he is back then. He's a good marketer because you may have heard of the band I Love Rich on the Decibel Geek podcast.
I did, yeah. After okay. I got the CD, though.
Right. Because he marketed to Aaron Camaro when he was down at Creatures Fest. And in short, I just want to give you a few questions that we asked him at the time. You don't need to know anything about the band, just the questions. We asked him things like, are the off-key vocals and complete lack of singing skill part of the joke? That was one of the questions we asked. We asked him, in the 55 years you've been alive, and have your parents ever raised the rent? You know, these aren't even that funny at the time.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Too bad.
Yeah,
and I will say the whole living in your parents' basement jokes kind of been beat
tied.
To death.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But 15 years ago,
something Adam Levine
fresh,
would find funny.
Super fresh 15 years ago. you know, we had, did you pick I Love Rich as your band name so you could hear people lie every time they mentioned it? Do you find it ironic that your name is Rich and yet you will never be? These are not great questions. And there was a hinder slam too. So
was he
basically,
hinder or something?
Huh?
Was he connected to Hinder somehow?
No. There was something that had to do with how bad the CD was compared to Hinder.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
I think we get the tenor. Yeah.
All right. So the tenor of the interview was pretty bad. And he had actually, this is a guy that actually reached out and said, hey, man, I like these interviews you're giving. Can you do one for me? And send the CD then.
Oh, he knew what he was going to do then.
Huh?
He knew what he was doing then. Yeah, he was getting into.
Yeah, a little bit, but anyway. So I just reached out to him as you do on Facebook, and I you know, because I can always read the room really well, right? Does this guy want me to reach out to him after all these years? And I just said, hey, I complimented him on his Creatures Fest review, and I apologized for the review. And his only response was basically, whoever came up with the Hinder question can fuck right off. And then he also mentioned that he had a new CD come out, ironically. And that's how that ended up in your hands.
I should probably open it up and listen to it. Now I feel bad.
Okay.
If you really want to insult a musician, like when they're presenting some of their original work to you, about halfway through, just start talking. And make it clear that you're not listening at all, and then maybe make some loose comparison to some other song that already exists and say, it sounds like that.
That's the best move?
I know those are the buttons that'll, you know, turn my face a little red, but
okay.
I assume it's like that with creatives just in general. But yeah.
So as I like to redeem myself over time, I just want to read the quick segment of his press release, and this feature one of his tracks, and I will feel that all is right in the world now. What do you think?
Sounds good. Set it up. Read the review and name the track.
Excellent. So here it is. The CD is called, again, the band I Love Rich. The CD is called You Have the Right to Remain Sexy. And they're out of Chicago. So here's their bio. How did four rock and roll fanatics become the best rock and roll band on earth? Was it the blended secret mix of Kiss, Ramones, and Turbo Negro? Possibly. Was it their supermodel looks? Almost definitely. Could it be their virtuoso playing? A little less likely, but the secret is revealed in their new song, Rock and Roll Conspiracy, by Chicago legends I Love Rich. Always a fiery live act, I Love Rich has returned to Million Yen Studios in their hometown of Chicago at various times over 2021 and 22 to record this album with Andy Gerber, who has recorded albums for the likes of Cheap Trick and Local H, and I Love Rich. The resulting masterpiece...
That's a resume.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. The resulting masterpiece in your hands if you're reading this. And basically, I just want to read off the name of the band members. That is Rich Love, as mentioned, on bass in Voice of a Generation. Drew Blood on drums. Chuck E. Sleaze on lead guitar. And Full Throttle also on lead guitar. So that's interesting.
Nice.
And as Sinzak like mentioned... Sinzak mentioned on Decibel Geek that it's amazing that they all four of these guys met. They had to with these names, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. The chances of Chuck E. Sleaze getting together with I Love Rich to make this album. I'm going to read a couple of the tracks, and then we'll get right to the featured song. There are tracks such as I Paid in Sex, My Baby's on a Sex Strike. There's Rock and Roll Sex Cult. A lot of sex going on. God's Gift to Women. My favorite title, though, is Revolution in My my Pants.
A good one.
But I'm going to feature Rock and Roll is Gonna Burn. Dead mouth burning up the town. The kind of fire that you want around. Yeah, I know you're gonna want the flame. When you head out on the porch, a rock and roll is gonna leave you scorched. And I know you're gonna like. So as far as the redemption section of life, is there any kind of practical joke besides the fuck the beast thing you did to an old lady at the Walmart or whatever it was, prank that you've done that maybe you felt bad about much later?
Oh, I'm sure. I don't feel bad about that one. I think that's
okay. It's fine.
I'd probably
fuck like a beast.
I'd probably do it right now.
That's how you do.
Oh man, you know there's of course things that things I've done or said that I regret, especially as I get older.
Sure.
There's one that probably haunts me. It's a little serious. Can I tell you?
Sure, bring it down.
Okay. I was pretty ignorant. We had just moved to the farm. I was like 5 years old, and I had never encountered someone who was deaf. We had a neighbor that was deaf, and me and some of my new friends, we were having like a housewarming thing, meeting the other farmers and the neighbor. I don't know. What do you call a farm neighborhood? Is it whatever?
Oh, it's definitely like
including
an HOA.
This family that had a deaf daughter who I think she might have been 10, 11 years old. She was older. And we locked her in the chicken coop and made fun of the way she talked. And then after everybody left, hey, this is not a happy ending for me. Like I said, this one actually torments me still. And I was 5. So I carry some empathy with me through most of my life. I got a talking to from my mom and everything was explained. And even at that age, I still remember how fucking horrible I felt. So that one, I wish I could make amends for that. I'm not sure. Maybe I did over the years just by not being a complete fucking jackass because it wasn't the last time I saw her. Who knows? You know what I mean? But, you know, whatever.
No, I appreciate you sharing that. I did leave the part of the story when we locked Rich in a chicken coop.
That's the first thing I thought of when you said, is there something that you did that you regret? So, yeah, I don't remember her name. So, yeah, anyway. Hey, I got
to one-up me. You always got to one-up me. You tormented a deaf child.
I don't see how that's one-upping me, man. I think you look better in this story than I do. Hey, you know what? Maybe by me putting this out in the universe, this is going to help me heal. And maybe, you know, by acknowledging publicly on a podcast what a fucking little shit douchebag was, but I, you know, whatever. It was like obviously a long time ago, but boy, I feel bad about that. Still, Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I think it was the right move, though, Baco, because you know some of our best biggest fans are deaf.
Yeah, the show's better if you can't hear. Yeah, all right,
that's right. Yeah,
Paul Stanley mostly, listens to us with one earbud.
They can listen in Braille, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, who does the transcripts for us? All right. Hey, I believe I have what is breaking war babies news.
Hold the phones. Did you just say breaking war babies news?
Yes, yes.
I am all ears. I'm out of the coop and ready to listen.
Well, I was patiently waiting for you to get your hair coiffed this morning.
Yes.
And get done French pressing whatever kind of hippie coffee you're drinking there. Some,
sure.
I'm sure it's fair trade. I was just scrolling through, and Bryn Ahrens owns Rocksteady Records. Like, he got it from Bill O'Coin back when they were working together. And yeah, they are re-releasing that record on its 30th anniversary. And I just saw him post it on his personal page. So that's, I wouldn't even know who they were if it wasn't for podcasts.
Isn't that the great thing about podcasts? Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that there's two songs co-written by Paul Stanley on that album. We featured them back in the, I think it was called Old and Deep.
Okay.
Episodes.
Yeah, I know we played that one song. What's it called? I heard it on In Obscura
hang me up,
recently,
Hang
too.
Me Up? I think
yeah,
Hang Me Up
yeah,
or Blue.
Me up.
Blue
killer tune, man.
Yeah, that one I go back to quite frequently. That's one of the if I was going to say that's one of the missed albums. Like, if you're ever going to do a, you know, if you're going to do, you know, you never stay still, and you say, I'm going to slow down, yet I'm still going to have a football podcast every week. I'm going to slow down, but I'm yet going to still do this. If you were going to keep slowing down and you want to do, like, I know it's not officially grunge, but it's like one of those, they were in Seattle, stuff like that. That's like one of the missed, like, great albums, I think, from that zone.
Yeah, I've heard that probably on several other podcasts, and I think we probably brought it up when we talked about it. But anyway,
yeah, sure.
I'll hopefully
so
get more
vinyl and everything.
I'll hopefully get more details. You know, I know how to reach out to Bryn personally, so maybe I can find something more before the next time we go.
Give me your address.
But yeah, I'll have him mail a copy to you. I know that actually probably would be something you'd appreciate.
Oh my God, I would. Yes.
All right, and I would like to mention to anybody that's going to be in the Minneapolis St. Paul area on November 5th. I will be performing at the Elderfest Jam again, but I'm now piggybacking off of what we did with Suns Out, Mike's Out. Gene Vogel is going to be playing with me. I don't believe I've mentioned it on the show, but if I have, well, I'm just pumping it again. So we're going to be doing 3 to 4 songs. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure the set times yet, but we'll get there. And we got a special little medley we're working on, so it should be cool.
Can I put one special request?
Well, it's kind of locked, but go ahead. What you got?
I just want you guys to do Odyssey front to back.
Well, that's the whole thing. But you know, the weird thing is that, like, I was the first person to perform at this thing when it started, and after that, Danny Beck, who runs the whole event, he expanded it with more people and kind of music all day. Mm-hmm. But I embraced the Elder. I did that whole little five minutes medley.
Yeah.
Basically everybody that shows up just plays their favorite Kiss songs now. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, well, last year I did Not for the Innocent. But
oh, that's true. You did go off the script a little bit.
Yeah, I don't have anything on the Elder slated for this year, but we did kind of take a special slant. So we'll all film right, it so and share it with people that can't show up and stuff. Anyway.
So are you going to, you and Gene, are you going to keep working on some of your pre-rehearsed bits like Beeler and Soto?
I don't like to leave a lot of room for chat. Yeah, so
see?
That's where
make it tight.
I'm all about the music. You know, those two chuckle nuts are just about telling the same joke over and over again. So
okay,
yeah,
it's what I love. Same joke over and over. You get it locked in and loaded. Fucking run that shit into the ground. Pleases every right time.
On. You know, hey, one thing just hit me. When I listened back to last week's episode, you actually reminded me of something that I kind of regret. This one's a little softer.
Okay,
me and my
ahead.
Buddy Mike Patterson were going to a Twins game. See, it all ties in. It's baseball, everything. And regret. They were giving out baseball bats to every fan 16 and under. And the person that...
A full bat, not like a little souvenir
bat?
Yeah,
just a full-size bat.
Jesus.
But it was supposed to be for kids 16 and under. And the guy at our gate that was handing them out was mentally disabled.
Oh, my God. And there's a theme here.
Hold on. And I was 21, 22 at the time, so Patterson would have been about 27, 28.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so the kid's just asking everybody, you know, they just ask them if they're 16 and then give them a bat if they say yes. And so he was doing that, and then, of course, us fucking sleazeballs, we both say yes and get our bat. We get to our seats. And Mike starts retelling this tale, but he leaves out the fact that we were the guy was clearly mentally challenged. Okay,
uh-huh.
You know, and he's like, man, and he's telling it like he just totally tricked this idiot. And it reminded your story last week reminded me of that moment when you're like your little ticket hack, where you're like, you know, just find some old blind bastard, and like you know. And then I'm like, when I was listening back to it, I was like, oh God. I'll tell you this, though. I did not leave that stadium with my bat. I was when I heard him tell that story, I just kind of shrunk in my seat. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't. So I gave it to a kid. I saw a kid that did not have a bat, and I gave it to him. if he would have never told that story, I probably would have never thought anything. All I did was say yes and take a bat. You know, I wouldn't even remember the event. But he had to tell it like he outsmarted some fucking, you had some genius plot. It's like, Mike Patterson and I are not friends anymore, by the way. Not specifically because of that, but.
So let's see. So far we've got on our target, our kill zone. So far we have struggling musicians, the blind, deaf. Mentally challenged. Can we just do a whole section on Kiss tards now? Can we just? I mean, come on. Those aren't officially mentally challenged, but let's admit they're mentally challenged.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, there's been no news on Sam Loomis. Remember, there was like supposed to be this big announcement, maybe a big reveal. There's been, unless I missed something, am I too far behind on Shout It Out Loudcast? I mean, what?
Speaking of Kiss tards,
do you know anything?
No, I haven't got the, like, you got the breaking news of the War Babies. I didn't get breaking news on Sam Loomis, unfortunately, in my feed. He's gone dark, Bucko. Doesn't matter. I have the links to all the shit if I want to watch him.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. Well, they're all gone. Well, I think someone's took them down.
No. I mean, I have the links. You don't have the links? I'll send you the links. They're all on Google Drive.
There you go. All right. Fair enough.
All right. I just opened it up for people that direct message me.
Sliding into your DMs like...
Slide to my DMs like the human centipede.
Oh, my God. I'm not... Yo, you pissed me off with that. That's not sitting in the show.
Okay.
No.
Sorry,
I'm gonna just start fucking hijacking all your posts.
Listen, I thought it was a human centipede. What do you want me to do?
Look, if you want my serious take on it, I'm not looking for reparations. This is not eating me up. It's no big deal. I didn't pull the post down. I don't want you to think I'm overreacting because I'm about to explain something.
And I did the right thing. I made a new thread and I moved it.
And then I immediately jumped on and gave you a taste of your own medicine, which of course never works. But
right, I was just like, oh, he wants to jump in here and advertise.
I made it clear in several comments that like, hey, because here I thought I made it. It's a timely and a funny joke. It's not the greatest thing in the world.
I don't know what it is.
Okay, I don't know how you don't know what cat dog is, being that you have kids.
Mm-mm, don't know.
And did you look at anything else besides that picture of the two that with our
it
two?
It said,
heads?
"Holy fucking fuck, your body is weird."
From who? From who?
From Adam Levine.
Yes. Do you know anything about that whole thing?
No.
Okay, that was fucking clear when you said human centipede, and I just said no, and then Eric Miller came in, and then I made a couple comments like just trying to keep it back on pace, and you had every opportunity to say, oh, got it. and then you just kept going with it. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Now we're talking about human centipede and human centipod. It's like
I can't believe it's not taken.
Fair enough, but I just made a joke, and it wasn't human centipede related. Tell me this. How about this? Have you seen the movie Human Centipede?
Nope.
When you have seen it, you can start making human centipede jokes. That's the rule. Hold on. Yes, everybody is in agreement with me on that one. So
perfect. I say leave all this in the show. It's fucking great. I love this. I love it.
I know you do. You love it because like whatever. It's not that big a deal. Like I said, it's still up there for anybody that wants to read it. But
again, you just wrote me another chapter of not reading the room. My autobiography.
Not reading. Apparently, just there's like actual words you just read and like. So Adam Levine, yeah. Cat dog, and you go with human centipede. So
yeah,
everybody was posting those things, and I thought it'd be fun to do one for our show.
Sure.
And because it's Adam, it's music related. I did kind of want to touch on his comment about metal chicks, but nobody was. It was just like a picture of them. You know what I mean? Like posed. It's like something like the guitar player from Trivium did it.
Sure.
And then I thought, well, an absurd body is cat dog. I mean, they don't even have a butt or there's no tail. It's just two
heads.
That's
true.
So
good point.
That was my joke. I know it's highbrow and high concept, but.
Right.
Anyway.
That's why I missed it.
Fair enough. All right. Let's reel this back in here.
What is this? An episode of Sun's Out, Mike's Out? Jesus, get us back on track.
Yeah, no shit, man. What's in this coffee? I think you're going a little Black Russian here or something.
now you're making fun of Black Russians?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were any.
I'm just offending everybody. Just walk through life like that. I did want to throw in a little bit. I don't want to get into this too deep because I just said a bunch of really nice things about Wolfgang. But leading up to the Taylor Hawkins thing, before I saw him perform, he kind of clapped back at Eddie Trunk. And I'm actually going to defend Eddie on this one. Now, Wolfie, he has been a little sensitive to some of the online comments. You know, he doesn't understand why he is his, you know, all of his fans are 50 years old, but then he goes on tour with the Scorpions. You know, I mean, it's
yes.
But you know, to his credit, I think he went out as a headliner with Plush, and that's kind of a more current rock thing. And that's
what do you think about the double headliner of Scorpions and Whitesnake? And Whitesnake dropped off, and now it's just the Scorpions. If you had that ticket, are you happy?
Yeah, I'd rather see just the Scorpions, but. There's not much of a chance that I would pay to see either one of them.
Either.
But,
I hear you. Just curious. Anyway, he's coming to town next week. Keep going.
So Eddie said, when the Taylor Hawkins tribute shows were announced, Eddie shared it and said, this is amazing. how is it that they can put this together in 6 months, but 2 years later, we're still nothing. We haven't really done any proper tribute to Eddie, one of the greatest guitar players of all. A couple key things here. He did not tag Van Halen. He did not tag anybody from connected with Van Halen on this, and he didn't tag Wolfgang Van Halen. Wolfgang saw it and basically responded with, like, you know, I'm so sick of all you people thinking I need to take care of this or something like. And it was just like, you know, take a time out, child. You know, this is what happens when you're an only child and rich parents. You're just a spoiled little shit. Yeah, no, I mean, Eddie's not out of line saying, guess what, Wolfie? We knew your dad before you did. Sorry. And his music means a lot to a lot of people, and a tribute show would be nice. I'm not pining for it. I got what I need, but a lot of people would like it, and I would absolutely be interested if it happened. But, you know, just settle down. Nobody's saying, Eddie, I'd understand if Eddie had actually said something like, you know, come on, Wolfie, get it going. But he didn't. And Wolf's been on his show. You know, and he's made comments saying, I'm not the one holding it up, implying that he's willing to do it. So it seems once in a while, settle down. You know what I mean?
So last time you told everybody that he finally made fat guys look cool.
Yep.
So you gave him a compliment and everything. And
he gave
and
fat now, guys now, hope.
Yeah. And now you're kind of just equaling it out with this comment. I do think it's ridiculous. Like, if he wasn't tagged and things like this, he's obviously following Eddie or whatever it is, and he jumps on and gets all sensitive. To me, it just sounds like saying nice. Like, it is true. I mean, they got this all. If they were something done the same way that you described this tribute, then why can't they? I think it's just a general open-ended question. Why would you get offended about that unless you were just there's a lot of anger that runs in the Van Halen camp at all times. You know what I mean?
That's like a good point.
Between the brothers and stuff like that, they are the definition of being just triggered. Boom, that's it. That's it. Fuck you. We're done. We're never working together ever again. You know, just read any of the biographies of Van Halen. So it doesn't surprise me, but I'm glad again, fair and balanced, this show.
Exactly.
So you've knocked him down a peg after the coolness factor. You give him a compliment. And by the way, hearing back in the edit, he did absolutely nail that solo. So I appreciate those clips last show.
And I got to watch that that clip again, the one I talked about, where he just kind of flicks that pick.
It is
such a fucking badass. It's like half a second long, and it's just so cool. Anyway.
Yeah, as professional journalists, I wanted to jump in. And, you know, if we make a mistake or whatnot, we have to do a retraction like a newspaper, right?
Yeah, we've done plenty on this show, yeah.
It's not officially a retraction, but here's the deal. I have listened to the Ozzy Patient Number 9 album so many times over the last week, and it is actually probably my favorite album since No More Tears. And I just want to make a couple points for everybody that's out there. Melodies stick in my head. I have that Robo Ozzy is gone from the last one. I don't know if it's better studio trickery, but I think his voice sounds great. And I just find the album to be very enjoyable. And I'm actually considering getting that it's too much right now. But have you seen the alt cover with the, like, Todd McFarlane art that kind of looks like it would come out right after Diary of a Madman?
Held it in my hands yesterday.
Really? Is it still 50? Is it like 50 bucks?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. So a little too pricey. And one other thing, too, and I don't know if it's a misprint, but I think that starting off the album with Immortal, going into Patient Number 9, and then going into Parasite is a better flow for the open, too. I'm just telling you.
All right. Well,
it makes sense.
Get into record
production. He's actually immortal, then he goes to an insane asylum, then parasites are affecting him in the middle of the night. I fucking love it, man. The first six songs on that album, side A, is great.
I it's a good record. I'm sure I'll go back to it and listen to it from time to time like I did with most of his stuff, but it really hasn't changed much. I don't hear the big difference in the vocals that you do. If anything, man. I thought it was a little lazier on some of the, I do this when I sing, you know, that kind of thing. I thought there was a little bit, seemed like an emphasis on that this time. It didn't seem natural. So
I'll just finish it with this, is that when he did that song, the title track with Elton John sounded like a clean take of a vocal. Mm-hmm. And then every time Ozzy was on that, he sounded processed. So in this, I don't hear that processing as much. It's either better robots or it's better singing, but enjoyed throughout. The guitars are ripping. And I got to give it up for Khaki Pants, man. Eric Clapton, love that song. Love the constant soloing throughout the entire track as well. So that's it. That's my recommendation for patient number 9.
I look forward to your third review at our next episode. We took a break from Tommy Lee last week because he basically ate up our entire summer. We thought we needed to give ourselves a little step back from the penis-sharing drummer of Motley Crue.
Yes.
But there are some kind of quick-hitter things we should catch up on. Shortly after he did the whole Instagram penis thing, he seemed to enjoy the attention he got. So he kept doing suggestive posts on Instagram where some phallic item was put in his crotch or something like that. You know, real highbrow shit. And he would take it on stage, too. One day he pulled a real-life wiener dog out of his pants.
I can't wait. Oh, my God. That whole thing.
Then he actually, in another show, told all the men, just start posting pictures of your dicks, guys. Let's make this the reality. Apparently his son has done it, and his is bigger than Tommy's, says the headline. I did not track that down. And I think my favorite thing was that at the end of the tour, he mooned the audience and had OnlyFans written on his butt cheeks to announce that Tommy Lee has joined OnlyFans because that's where you're free to share whatever you want. So for $40, he thinks for people want to pay $40 to see his dick.
It doesn't suck.
So when he did that, was it written OnlyFans and then the dot before the comma was his butthole?
Yeah, basically, the little credit card slot that it's his butt cheek there is the between Only and Fans. So I think that's how you pay for it. You just take your credit card and swipe it through his asshole.
Bananas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it a chip reader or is it the magnetic stripe?
I think it's magnetic. Probably both at this point, You put it in 3 times and then you have to swipe if it doesn't work.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, but I'm thinking with the chip reader in his butt. It's that whole thing is it authorized or not? When do I pull out of his butt, right?
Yeah, when you hear the charge goes through. It makes a noise.
Well, it goes, eh.
No, more like,
Okay, good. Perfect. I think we're keeping this highbrow, yeah?
Anyway, all the best to you on OnlyFans, Tommy.
Sure.
That is going to be my Christmas gift to everybody this year, is just a 1 month of Tommy Lee's OnlyFans.
I like that. Just a login code. You open up the Christmas card, and it's got a long
Tommy's dong
thing. Yeah, I like it. Perfect. So, but now that the tour is over, there's more Tommy announcements to make.
Before we get into your news there, the announcements, they did say they're going to be doing the – I think we already knew they were going to do the stadium tour with Def Leppard in Europe next year, and they're supposedly coming back here in 2024. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Okay. Hey, I heard the stats, something like it basically said Baco and Elsie, you were wrong. We made $173 million. And
Who
knows what these what?
Well, I mean, isn't that just basically the total ticket sales?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everybody got paid. But don't get me wrong. I don't think they're struggling financially. But I'm only gonna cop to wrong ish. Boston, I believe, was the only show that legitimately sold out, and they did do 2 shows there. But Boston's also for a stadium kind of tiny. So for a ball game, it only holds about 30,000. So I'm guessing it's closer to 20 for a concert. But I don't know.
Cash was made to watch
lackluster
performances.
Well.
So
whoever Mick is with now, whatever gold digger he has for a girlfriend, we'll soon be clearing him out of all that money, and he'll have to do another tour.
Yeah. I see. It's just a just goes around in a it's just a cycle. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What do you got though, man? You had some announcements too.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen. Now that Tommy has lowered the bar on expectation for his customer base, you know the whole craft beer deal.
Yep.
You're a big fan of craft beer, and but are you? And this is a big craze in Denver, but I'm not sure if it's a big craze in your area. I'm going to say it is, and that is the whole craft donut deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, overpaying.
We're past that. That was 2010.
Okay.
Mojo Monkey popping. Donuts.
Okay. Yeah, they got all of them here. They got one that has an assembly line. You tell them what they want to add. They do it in front of you and shit like that.
Like Subway.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Subway of donuts and stuff like that. It's
okay. Anyway.
But yeah, so not to be outdone and to jump on a craze, at least, that's continuing to sweep the nation. But Tommy has announced his new chain of donut shop, craft donut shops called Radnuts.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, what makes this one different is the fact that their flag, instead of their flagship, their flagpole is the Long Tom. It's like a Long John, except it's twice as long and has four times a cream filling, which mathematically doesn't even make sense, but
right.
somehow it works. And it is served up. Just like the logo shows, you have the Long John shoved into a regular donut. And
are any chance the donut holes are sold in pairs?
They are. Thank you for getting to that. They're sold in pairs. That's part of it.
They come in a sack.
Yes, they come in a sack as well.
Bananas.
Perfect. You're taking my bad jokes already. So thank you. I like it. I like how predictable this is. So again, you've got.
I heard it on Pods and Sounds.
Oh, you didn't know? I didn't know they already had this segment. God damn it. But yeah, so they have, so you've got the Long Tom. It's shoved inside of a donut. And it's got the two donut holes next to it. There's different donut holes you can get. By the way, these donut holes are generous sizes. And you've got the one that's called the 1985, which has like dark shavings on it. And you have the new one, which is coconut, so it's very gray, the coconut shavings on the side of the donut holes. It also is giving back to the community, the people that are serving you. He has ended a over two decade unemployment run by the members of Methods of Mayhem. They're employed by the place too, so you'll be served
nice.
By one of them.
Nice.
I think that's good, right?
Yeah, he's keeping them employed.
Exactly. And you know, they have the donut that has the biggest hole is called the Pam, which I thought was kind of rude, kind of. But you know, any other names for any of these donuts?
This is your bitch.
Just show it.
Listen, you're already claiming I stole two jokes from you.
No, I'm not. I love the fact that you did that already. By the way,
what do you mean? So you did claim it or you did not claim it? I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying it's good that you did that. That's how predictable this is.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Just letting you roll.
There's also a plate of crumbs that you can purchase, which is called the Vince Meal. just leftovers.
With like a couple of streaks where it looks like a tongue lick through it.
That's right. Exactly.
Vince works there too. He just sits on his stool and back. There you go.
Every order 75. He just, that's his whole job, is just to eat everything and give you an empty plate.
Yeah. The Vince meal is the one item that, you know, it's like when you go to like get certain, like if you order like a deep dish pizza, they're like, well, just so you know, there's going to be like a 45 minute wait. It'll be like that. I'll take the Vince meal. There's going to be a 10 to 15 minute wait. Vince has to eat each one.
Right.
And then he hands you the plate of crumbs with a lick mark down it.
Yeah, he might pass out by noon for that job, but that's kind of a typical morning for him. So, you know, now he's getting paid for it.
Yeah, this is kind of a morning gig, and I don't know that Vince can handle that. He doesn't seem like an early riser.
Oh, I should also mention that these are going to be located at stripper malls, which is the same thing as a strip mall, but a strip place has to be there as well. What do you think? And probably next to a Kiss coffee house, so you can see two places go out of business within a year.
Yeah. So Tommy's not an actual investor. He's just licensing his.
No, he's just licensing it, and he just does the arrangements for the donuts.
Here's my dick. Make donuts. Make Long Johns the shape of this.
Right. They're all served like there's the doggy style.
I want him
style.
To actually poke the cream hole out with his dick, and then that's how you get it the right size.
Smile, smiles I can see. You make me laugh, think that I love you. How about dinner, 8:30 and a strip for two? The way you strut like no one else. You got a thing all by yourself. If people can't hang, you can give them hell. You strut pop, pop, like you're ringing the bell. I don't need to go fast when you strut with me. I got all night, got nowhere to be. I'm pretty fine just walking with you. Hold your hand while you whistle that tune. Tell you what, if you like my strut, I'll walk on ahead and you can look at my butt. Objectify, but don't cross the line. But you can be bad when you strut this time. Cause strut that thing just like a cock. Show them kids up and down the block. Flash your feathers and walk on by. You strut so good, you make Jimmy cry. I can't believe that you're strutting with me. Let's strut somewhere everybody can see. And next to you, filled up with pride, we go boom, boom, side to side. Day one, I'm in love with your strut. Day two, I'm in love with your strut. Day three, I'm in love with your strut. And guess what? I'm in love with your strut. Day one, I'm in love with your strut. Day two, I'm in love with your strut. Day three, I'm in love with your strut. And guess what? I'm in love with your strut. I like your strut. Do you wanna go strutting and strutting? You like my strut. Then let's go strutting. I like your strut. Do you wanna go strutting and strutting? You like my strut. Then let's go strutting right now.
Rad Nuts. Coming to your town soon.
Tommy Lee's Rad Nuts.
Say Tommy right. Lee's Rad Nuts. That's correct. Yes. Okay. I'll make a logo. I'll make the show.
Brought to you by StubHub.
Brought to you by what?
StubHub.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's dynamic pricing on the donuts as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't know if it's funny or not. Corey Feldman has a new song coming out, and hopefully he's going to go on tour. You have to go if because he never comes here. So
he comes to this place called the venue that mm-hmm. has moved kind of the 80s bands, like Pretty Boy Floyd will play there and Corey Feldman for some reason.
Well, you know, and Corey's he's an industry pro, so when he's got some to promote, he finds a way to kind of get out there and get ahead of it. This time around, he is basically promoting the record by accusing Marilyn Manson with decades-long mental and emotional abuse. So apparently, according to Corey, Marilyn was obsessed with the child star Corey Feldman. Mm. It's kind of funny. He's, you know, in his 40s, late. He's got to be in his 50s now.
Right.
And we still call him a child star. But all of his best work was done by 15, I guess.
That's true. Was this before or after the chicken coop incident?
I don't know. But the actor claimed that when they met, Manson was gushing, was obsessed with him, and called him his idol. I got to tell you, well, you know, Marilyn's a twisted dude. Maybe, I mean, is that where he gets his inspiration from? Is like License to Drive? He watches well, how many movies did the two Coreys do anyway? I know they were in Lost Boys, License to Drive. Wasn't there one of them with a... who cares?
I don't know. All I know is that it's still burned. I mean, I get a lot of inspiration from that scene in Lost Boys that has the Feldmans. It's got Haim and Feldman. Yeah, Haim and Feldman are hanging out. Can't remember what room they're in, but one of them has a poster of Rob Lowe with his shirt off in the background. Not gay at all.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I just like the fact that that was there.
Still the best name in porn, Rob Lowe.
Nice.
Rob Lowe? Rob Lowe. Yeah. Not bad. He's got away with it.
Anyway, other than the fact that Corey having new music out, I don't know what we don't want to talk about here. We should play a little snippet of his stupid song. I don't know.
I'm in for you, no matter what you're going through. I promise you, if there's a storm, I'll be the one keeping you warm. There is no me without you.
This is not flowing as well as I was hoping.
What? Abuse from Marilyn Manson is not flowing as well as you thought it would?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, this has been kind of a dark episode, you know? Some bullying from four-year-old Baco.
Yeah, me criticizing musicians. Yeah, you know, just, it just goes on.
We are racked with a lot of guilt. Maybe we are. Right. We are becoming better people, better versions of ourselves.
Who would be good to do an intervention for both of us? Hmm. Like to sit us down?
You know,
who could crack into us?
What's his name? Nate, the co-host with Disciples of the Watch. He's a yogi.
Okay. So he could dig deep, ask like these thought-provoking questions. I'm in for that. What do you think?
Sure,
people?
I'm down. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we could time it with my juice cleanse, I would kind of like that too. Yeah.
Oh, when does that start?
Whenever. Fallish. I don't know.
Hops aren't juice.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Tell that to my juicer. Right. Just loading up hops.
It looked kind of like it would be a fruit in there somewhere.
Yeah, something. I gotta get some kind of juice out of this, honey.
Sure.
It's called beer, idiot. that would be a good thing, though. I think the two of us kind of come into terms with the horrible acts we've imposed on others over the world, our lifetimes.
Yeah.
It's weird that we feel that way, but we're also like huge anti-bully advocates, and I don't know.
Well, yeah, you have to do terrible things to be a good person later, right? Isn't that the way? We're born again. We're born again bullies.
Hey, never thought about it that way.
B-A-B, the Babs.
Born again bully. Let's take that on the road.
I think so.
Did you get your WASP tickets?
I'm waiting for you to tell me you're getting your tickets to come here to see it.
I believe that one's sold out. Gene and I toyed with the idea of driving. I think the closest one to us that was on a weekend was, just outside of Chicago. And then 2 days later, that show was closed. But he's making an announcement on the 28th. Hopefully that's more tour dates. But I'm guessing that's just some stupid announcement like Stett Howland is rejoining the lineup. You know, some, I don't know.
Right. Anyway. He's a big hype, old hype guy.
Yeah. Did you? I listened to his interview on Three Sides of the Coin, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It's been a while since I listened to that show, and I think it was probably helped that Mark wasn't there, but it was a pretty smooth interview. They talked a lot of Kiss stuff. He had some fun stories to tell, and then it just turned into the bullshit hype machine, which, you know, it's to be expected. That is what he's doing, so.
Okay.
He didn't accuse Marilyn Manson of abusing him, so.
Well, I guess
that's why he's not out there in the news, like Corey is. I'm in for
you. Right. I mean, there's only so many times the Marilyn Manson abuse card can be played, is what they say. Oh, the Marilyn Manson abuse card. Playing that one, huh? That old trick? You know?
Oh, my God. That took me down a bit of a rabbit hole on some audiophile stuff that I hadn't really, I just don't get into too many of these really deep, direct to one step mastering, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Mobile Fidelity, MoFi Records they've been around since the 70s, but it's changed hands quite a bit with when CD kind of took over, it kind of went out of business. And it says in this article, but I believe it came back around the early 2000s. But here's the crux of it. There's a record store in Phoenix, Arizona called The InGroove, and the owner of that was tipped off that they were apparently using a digital master in their one-step process, which means they're basically they're saying something that isn't true. Basically, one step processing is going from the master to the actual. I'm going to sound ignorant here. The acetate, basically, to make the press to press the vinyl. Anyway, so the key players here are a guy named Mike Esposito. He is the owner of the Ingroove record store in Phoenix, and he's the one who posted the original video where he made the comments that set the internet of audiophiles on fire. The company MoFi, their vice president John Wood, and then the owner of MoFi, and he's also the owner of Music Direct, which bought MoFi, and it's at some point Jim Davis. Those are the three main players involved here. To summarize, this Mike Esposito goes on one of his little. It's like a 20-minute video. It's about the 15-minute mark where he makes the claim. He's like,
"I'm going to always call it like I see it, and right now the way I see it is, there's a strong possibility, very high double digits. Mobile Fidelity has had some digitization in their records, and I would like to see again if that's the case. And I will keep pressing them to try to get clarification." If they come out and say, "Mike, you're a lunatic, you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about," Mike's going to come back here on YouTube, eat crow, and say, "I got a whole lot of bad information from a whole lot of bad people, and I apologize. This is the way it is." And I'll go on record and say that. But I'm not going to go on record and say that until I've got definitive, concrete proof that is not the case.
A bunch of comments come up. People defend MoFi. They say they're reputable, all this stuff. The John Wood guy, he invites Mike to come out to the actual MoFi plants. So he flies him out there, gives him a tour, lets him talk to engineers. He actually records an interview with the engineers. The truth comes out. He was right. Whoever tipped him off knew something. He shares that on YouTube, and then MoFi basically now has to, they've since come clean, and I believe there's actually a class action lawsuit coming against them. Let me toss it to you a little bit here. You had some comments.
If I recall right for the article, when he invited him out there, was the actual owner or president there, or did he
show
up?
No, the owner showed up just after, about an hour after he left.
Exactly. So that's where I think was the
he didn't know what was going
this
on until.
Right.
Yeah.
So he didn't, and as the owner, he definitely did not prep any of the people that he went in and interviewed. So he almost thought that he almost like called his bluff by inviting out. I don't even think he thought he would show up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's the part I thought was.
It was weird to invite him out at all. I mean, I'm not sure that, especially if you know he's right. Mm-hmm. And the guy did. He's admitted as much. He's like, "Yeah, I made a calculated misstep. I thought this was going to go a different direction." And that would have just continued the cover up, though. Now, this is not the biggest, cover up in world history here. We are just talking about fidelity quality of a vinyl and the process to get there. And basically, the records are basically labeled one step mastering, and they're not. It is a big thing. Now, so I don't know that someone like you or I could put it on our turntable systems. Maybe those ones with the $8,000 tone arms, you could tell the difference. But one of the theories as to how this actually was exposed was that there was a run of Michael Jackson Thriller, and they were going to do 40,000 copies, and it was going to be an original master tape that would be used for the repressing. And apparently, you can only get 3,500 to 7,500 copies off of one pressing, and then you have to rerun the master tape again. And that kind of set some people going, well, no record. Like, the people who own the master tapes wouldn't allow that. You're not going to get to do it 12 times. You know what I mean? So that apparently got some people, you know, suspicious.
Yeah, and on this, too, we should mention that, these are $50, $60 albums. Yeah. And that's the key thing you're paying for, is to hear the pure, like, you're as close as you could to the actual master itself. Yes?
Isn't yeah.
that kind of the... The dream for the audiophile?
Yeah, this is so definitely for someone that really spends a lot of, like, to me, for me personally, when you get to that level, you're taking kind of the joy out of listening to music when you're that meticulous with, because I want it to sound good, Right. That's not what I'm not suggesting. I want it to, you know, basically be shoved under a pile of blankets, and that's the only true way you can listen to it. But, man, if you're that geeked out into the stuff, I mean, you're not part of the process at all, it seems like. It seems like to me just the creation of your stereo is what you're doing. You're not really into the music that much.
I know what you're saying, because that's when you get too into it, and you're, like, just trying to nitpick on how great or not great it is, and especially when you're paying that much. But, I mean, I think it's a pretty big scam and way to have – you know, a lawsuit, because I mean, this is the this is the dream they're selling.
Well, it's fraud.
Period.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah, it's straight up fraud, right? And is this? Was it revealed that they went to it at one point? That's the part I didn't understand too. Did they at one point ever do this, and then they just cut out a step and got lazy?
Well, actually, they added steps apparently, but I do think it's faster to go with the digital process though, because you don't have to do things in real time like you do with analog. Mm-hmm. But one question I had that didn't get answered, I don't know if the need to do this was, you know, purely just out of like cost and time savings, or is this at all related to those fires we heard of, that fire we heard about at Universal where a lot of masters were actually destroyed
right.
forever. So I don't know, man. But look, even there's an engineer that works on this stuff says that the sound quality is going to be good with a digital master. It's just not going to be as natural a processor, and some people might think it sounds less natural.
Yeah, it's the whole vinyl thing is wizardry to me still, because you know it just depends on how that each one. I just think it's amazing how each one can vary. You never know what you're going to get. Doesn't matter who you get it from, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for the most part, you know that some bands are more consistent with who they use or the places. And how many vinyl manufacturers are there in the U.S. currently? Three?
You know, four? I think there's more than that, but it's not a lot.
Right. As far as the big ones.
You know, I've largely trusted the Kiss reissues. I've been very pleased with those, with a couple of exceptions. The Love Gun Splatter, that the Walmart exclusive one, that one sounded mm-hmm. really flat. I think I have yet to see a record that was what they call silver or gold, but it's really more gray and a weird burnt or yellow. You know, they don't, those records almost always sound, I don't know, they almost feel softer too, but they never sound good. I don't know.
So on that end too, how does this company even survive? I mean, right now they have, I think the run of first six Van Halen albums is an example for $50 or $60 each. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck is going to buy them? You know what I mean? They're still listed on their site. Like,
yeah.
Who's going to be like, yeah, this is going to be a good version. This is worth the money. I don't even understand how the company survives, period.
There's apparently a market for it. I mean, they've kind of rebounded with the vinyl resurgence, you know, basically going back to 2001, 2002. So there, but I mean, this guy is this record store owner's video. I don't know if it's because of the scandal, but it had 60,000 views, and all these people commenting that are really into this stuff. You know, I mean, like a couple of people tried to like almost disparage him as just being some guy who didn't graduate high school. He grew up in foster homes. Apparently his father was murdered when he was 11. His mom
that's
has
relevant.
Had, yeah, his mom has had drug and alcohol problems. And
Jesus.
You know, but
so
hey,
he is crazy.
All
yeah.
that, and he owns his own business. So,
yeah, good on him. Listen, there's this one blog. If you ever want to get into the audio rabbit hole, Steve Hoffman is this one blog that you will find all this stuff on. And I think that's where he was posted to begin with. That's where you go for like, hey, what speakers do I get, and what setup, and what needle works. That's the blog where I think this exploded on. And those people are. They don't fuck around. You better not say the wrong thing about whatever needle you're using, because they'll call you and then they'll dig up things in your past like they did this poor bastard. what terrible people. What does any of that have to do with it? The guy just is trying to protect geeky vinyl
guys.
We can
bring them on the show and they can tell us things they regret in life.
Oh, that's true. Maybe they can.
That'll be our new show, since everybody is doing what we're doing. But
I like it.
You know, I've told the story before, but you when I bought my turntable, I went to a place here called in the Twin Cities called the Needle Doctor, and they mm-hmm. had, you know, the one I bought, which was about $300, but they had all these ones that were like $5,000 and up. And I told the guy, is like, yeah, this tone arm is $7,000,
uh-huh.
and I made him play a record for me because I had to hear.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, how many of these do you sell? I didn't ask him this, but I mean, can you really stay in business? I mean, because you have to have inventory. You know?
Right.
How many $7,000 tone arms do you keep on hand? But I did like a comment that I highlighted from this article that said something that I think kind of sums up a lot of what you've expressed over the years. I know I feel the way that analog has become kind of a hype word, and most people don't know how records are made. And that's fair. You know what I mean? I don't think most people need to know how records are made, but
This is 180 gram. Must be a good one.
Yeah, that's another great one. Yeah, that probably helps with warpage long term, but doesn't actually have anything to do with sound quality. Maybe lays a little flatter on your turntable. I don't know. All Aussies are 150. I never understood that. It's just just randomly he's the 150 guy.
Yeah, saves on shipping.
Yeah. I didn't have much more on this. I know I saw a couple of people shared on Facebook after you sent it to me a couple weeks later anyway that were like, hey, what's the big deal? But I'm like, hey, fraud is fucking fraud. I don't personally care, but they're not selling to me. I'm not going to buy a record because it says One Step Mastering on the top. But I'm going to listen to it and let my ears tell me how it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty disappointed with the packaging on that debut Skid Row record from Pop Market that you shared. But it was $14, free shipping, and it sounds great. So, fuck it. I don't. Why are you doing colored vinyl if you're not even giving me artwork on a sleeve? But
I think this leads into us just being transparent about our own show. I mean, we've been talking about, I think we should just say it. I mean, you're not listening to a FLAC when you're listening to our show. This is converted through a process from a WAV file to an MP3, uploaded to me. I degrade it more with whatever I do before I upload it to the site and everything. Yep. So just you're listening to just a straight 192 kilobyte MP3.
Let me count the steps. So today what we're doing right here, that's step one.
Right.
Then you send it to me. That's step two. I import it. That's step three. Right.
Depending on the music I ask you to put, you take some low grade YouTube clips of the music, but not from the original source.
That's step four.
Yeah.
I'm not tracking down original source for this. Then I bounce.
Except for I Love Rich. That's right from the CD master.
Stop going over. Then I bounce step five. Mm-hmm. Then I. Then I level it. That's six. Then we convert to MP3. That's seven. Upload eight. You do something else. That's nine. We are a nine-step process.
Yeah. That's correct. But the good thing about you is you don't pay a goddamn thing. You get this entertainment for free, people.
There
so
you go.
Can't. Yeah. There's no fraud.
We're definitely not overcharging.
Nope.
Telephone is ringing. You got me on the run. I'm driving in my car now, anticipating fun. I'm driving right up to you. I guess that you could say, yeah. But you were under my wheels, honey. Why don't you let me be? Cause when you
Adam Levine's a guy from the band Maroon 5, a singer, and I think he's probably more known for being on the TV singing game show, The Voice or The Talk or, I don't know, Masked Singer, something like that.
Or those abs, those tattooed abs.
Yeah, well, that's what he wants you to think.
I'm sorry. I go right for that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Then his propaganda is working on LC. Anyway, he's been cheating on his wife, and some text got leaked out, I believe, by one of the victims of his crime. One of the girls he was cheating on with, I think she probably leaked him out. But anyway, part of the conversation that got the ears sprouting on metalheads around the world is that Adam Levine says no metal chick, no hot chick listens to metal. Look, man,
oh,
this guy's...
Damn.
I'm going to give myself a little credit here because every time this guy's always rubbed me the wrong way. Very exactly the same thing with Tom Cruise.
What was this? Yeah, you got to help me because I'm ignorant on this one, like most things. The is that one of the texts that he that was revealed?
Yeah, the one that's going around as a joke where it's like, oh, your body is absurd. Holy fuck. Holy fucking fuck. You know, it's just kind of creepy and gross. But he's creepy and gross, I think. You know, I think when he took his shirt off at the Super Bowl halftime show, I was just like, it just reminded me why this guy's always kind of give me the yeah. Like I was saying that, like I've never been proven wrong when I had this kind of feeling about somebody. And, you know, I go back to Tom Cruise as one of them. Your guy, Jason Sudeikis, man. Same thing. And then he's out there fucking serving his ex-wife with papers while she's giving a speech at Comic-Con. Just a douchebag move. You know, and you know, he's sitting there going, she'll never see this coming, right, bro? Right, bro? So Adam Levine, yes, he's a fucking douchebag. He's been shitting on rock and metal basically since he stopped allowing guitars to be part of his music. And so I'm not surprised by this, but, you know, come on, man. You know, plenty of hot chicks in metal, right?
Of course. Can't you see the videos from back in the day? They all like the music.
Now the problem is it is all those same girls though. There's no new ones.
That is probably.
Yeah, go to Rocktober and tell me I'm wrong. Yeah. Go to M3.
I hear you.
Hey, Doro still brings the heat. Some guys still find Lita Ford attractive.
There's a lot of bands that have attractive ladies that are in them, too. Yeah. Come on, there's a lot of hot new ones. I got to tell you, if you want me to take this off the rails for a second again, I want to give props
to... You
want to
update your Aussie review?
No, yes, I have another review. I've thought about it more. And I think the original sequence of opening with patient number 9 makes more sense. And going into Immortal, even though it throws the story, kind of like The Elder, right flow. But I wish there was some fanfare in the beginning of it, too.
I think patient number 9 should open with The Oath.
Yeah, I think so. That would be a better album. What do you think? Okay. But no, I want to give some props to the hardest working man in fest journalism, and that is Toomey. Day one, the reason it reminded me of it is day one for the Liar Than Life Fest looks to be a very... female fronted like themed day, like if you look at the roster, and which I thought was kind of cool. I to pretend I was at this because I was actually contemplating going at one point because it's somewhat near. I could double it with visiting my parents and stuff like that in the area. but my God, he looks to that VIP section looks like it's a pretty well set up area. You know, decent to do.
Oh, it was really cool. I talked to him last night to confirm that it was what I was seeing. It's nice and spacious. Got your own little outdoor furniture area. Yeah, it was very nice.
That looked good. The man did his 12-volt Negative Earth reunion. Mm-hmm. And I just got to tell you, I love seeing podcasters just in general. This is just my thing of the man looks stage ready. Don't you think that Toomey's looking like healthier and stuff like that?
He joined a gym, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in general, I love this whole thing of everybody just being living your best life, being in fests and everything like that. I just like seeing that. I mean,
sure.
I just want to give props out there. Man's on a proper platform.
So to tie
like
this back in, you're saying Toomey is an example of a hot chicken metal.
Yes, that's correct.
He looks so good. You'd fuck him.
You can dial that back a little bit. I'm just giving some feedback and everything like that. But I don't know, man.
No hot chicks in metal. Look at my boy Toomey. Suck it, Adam Levine. Your band is garbage. How the fuck did they get the halftime show? What was fucking Weird Al not available? Jesus Christ.
That's where you're going. You threw my man Weird Al under the bus.
I'm throwing him under
the bus. Motherfucker. God damn it. This is the whole.
I would rather see Weird Al than Maroon 5. I don't see how that's a shot.
Thank you. Okay. All right. I see where you're going there. You're actually propping him up. Well,
a little bit, but it was kind of a dig.
But that's it. I'm bouncing all over the place. But podcasting is a place where you can live your best life. Go back to bands you used to have. You can talk about things. You can interview people that you love. So as far as that goes, I couldn't be happier for everybody that's out there just doing it.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, and seeing Toomey get up there and just knowing that their band was reuniting, I got to tell you, literally a little, I see this in a good way, like a good jealousy, like I want to do it too. But I also, you know, then I'm like, well, then I got to talk to this guy and this guy, and we got
to
pull all
this shit
together.
But don't you still have a good, like on that, I'll flip it to you. Do you ever think about, like is there a spot that has, like he had like a connection to do a show? Mm-hmm. From old, is there a place around here if you got the boys back together to do a Jesus Christ?
There's definitely
one-off?
A couple places that we could get in pretty quickly. And it almost happened about this time last year. We were going to do, I don't know, maybe 10 songs. And we were going to be basically playing with another band, and their drummer was going to play with us. And so we were just basically, and it hit all the things that made it, you know, like, you know, palpable for me. Because, you know, getting up there playing and being on a stage and entertaining people, it really is a rush. But all the other work, you know, I've done it enough that I don't necessarily need to haul amps anymore. I don't want to convince people they should actually practice and know these songs. I'm just tired of that nonsense. But we didn't have to do anything but show up with our guitars. Like, so it was like we could use their back line, their drummer was going to play with us. So, yeah, we had some local rehearsals that were talked about. So
I was just saying, like, you could do it in tribute to Duffy and you could just have a good time with it. And
that was the plan. And look, something like that, I'm not saying never. It just seems less likely as the years goes on. Shores is now living, you know, hours away. And although Knuckles is still kind of local, so he could play bass. But
now what? About if we did, you did the whole thing. Remember, I was talking about the traveling Suns Out, Mics Out thing. You get out here, you get everybody out to Denver, and you play in my backyard. We get a noise permit.
Right on.
Right? Get everybody out there to have a whole party. Come on. Get arrested.
I'm throwing it out there. Haven't been to a good arresting in a long time.
So. Exactly. Yeah. So.
But yeah, the dine of your thing, it is nice to see people out there kind of doing that stuff. It does kind of fire me up. Hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to doing this show with Gene in November. A couple of guys just having fun playing some Kiss tunes on acoustic. So
there you go.
Not quite
there
the same thing, but I'm still, you know, something I'm definitely looking forward to.
In 2015, do you think that you would have been doing this assortment of activities around involving music at this point?
No, I think I was starting to get panicked about how I was going to replace being in a band. It had been such a big part of my life, and if anything, I was nervous. But I've kind of grown and learned to trust myself that I for whatever reason, without a lot of like foresight, I tend to know how to kind of keep myself charged up and energized moving forward. So
exactly, and all you needed was the right sidekick.
Exactly, a sidekick. You know what? I'm going to get a motorcycle with a sidecar just so I can drive around with you.
You can come pick me up.
Oh God! All right, this has been a lot of fun, but I got a shower before the Viking game here, so let's get out of here.
Yeah, man, is your Linus blanket? I got to get rolling.
Rock is not dead,
but it is riddled with guilt.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best, I'm so sorry I was blind, but you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely I guess I never told you that I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. But you were always on my mind.
right, Rock's not dead, but...
it's riddled with guilt.
But it's real. I like that. It's riddled with guilt. Do you want me to do that or you?
You can do that one.
Okay.
I fucking cracked too many veins today. I'll probably look back and this will be one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, exactly right. Talk about the chicken coop. It's great. I think this is an engaging show. People are like, what the fuck are they going to talk about next?
Oh, God. Good stuff all the way through, buddy.
All right.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never thought I'd care about gardening until I bought a house in the suburbs. But now I find myself in conversations about liquid fertilizer, and I wonder, am I the fertilizer guy now? No, no way. Everyone knows the ratio between phosphorus and nitrogen, right? Yeah, I'm still totally cool.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.